ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 7, entitled Killing of the Demon Chinavarta, text number 18. Ekadaroham arudham lalayanti sutam sati garimanam shishor Vodum na sehe girikutavat ekadaroham arudham lalayante sutang sati lalayante sutang sati Garimanam shishorvodum Nasehe girikutavat Ekadarohamarudam Lalayante sutang sati Garimanam shishorvodum Nasehe girikutavat Daroham arudham
Sati
One time, estimated to have been when Krishna was 1 year old. Aroham, on his mother's lap. Arudham, who was sitting. Lalayanti was patting Sutam, her son. Sati, mother Jasoda. Gurimanam, because of an increase in heaviness. Shisho, of the child. Vodum, to bear him. Na, not. Sehe, was able. Girikutabat, appearing like the weight of a mountain peak. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One day, a year after Krishna's appearance, Mother Jasoda was patting her son on her lap. But suddenly she felt the child to be heavier than a mountain peak, and she could no longer bear his weight. Please repeat. One day. A year after Krishna's appearance, Mother Jasoda was patting her son on her lap. But suddenly she felt the child to be heavier than a mountain peak, and she could no longer bear his weight. Report. Lalayanti. Sometimes a mother lifts her child, and when the child falls in her hands, the child laughs. And the mother also enjoys pleasure. Jasoda used to do this, but this time Krishna became very heavy, and she could not bear his weight. Under the circumstances, it is to be understood that Krishna was aware of the coming of Trinavartasura, who would take him far away from his mother. Krishna knew that when Trinavarta came and took him away from his mother's lap, Mother Jasoda would be greatly bereaved. He did not want his mother to suffer any difficulty from the demon. Therefore, because he is the source of everything, Janma Jasayataha, he assumed the heaviness of the entire universe. The child was on the lap of Jasoda, who was therefore in possession of everything in the world. But when the child assumed such heaviness, she had to put him down in order to give Trinavartasura an opportunity to take him away and play with him for some time before the child returned to the lap of his mother. Om Jnani Timinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Munitam Jena Tasmai Sigurvenma Kumbharodi Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girimat Kipadam Hamande Sigurum Nivitananam Shri Paramananda Madhavam. One day, a year after Krishna's appearance, Mother Jasoda was patting her son on her lap. But suddenly she felt the child to be heavier than a mountain peak, and she could no longer bear his weight. So sometimes people ask, how can you accept Krishna to be God? Our response would have to be also another question, in that how can you not accept him as God? When we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, read the Vedic literatures, it's very clear that the nature of God, nature of Krishna, is inconceivable to by the mundane senses. Right? Atapi de deva padam bhujantvaya prasadale sanu giriya evahi grihita evahi. That the personality of God is it's not an easy thing to understand. But if one receives just a little bit of mercy from that Supreme Lord, that personality of Godhead, If one is favored, even by just a slight trace, one can understand his greatness. While others who, as described, may speculate for thousands of years, just like the Bhagavatam or the Brahma Samhita explains, Pantastu koti vat sarasat sarasam bragam yo vayoratapi munaso muni pungavanam, that the great yogis, the great munis, even after so many millions of years in their meditation, can barely approach even a tiny bit of the effulgence emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. What to speak of those who are just mental speculators who may study the Vedic literatures? Of course, the Vedas are very complete, there's no doubt, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is that by the Vedic literatures, that Krishna is understood. So certainly the personality of Godhead is there. Everything is there. And whatever information one may need. Just like when you pick up a manual, when you buy a car, everything is there in the manual. All the parts and how to put it together, how to replace it, the number of the part, where to even purchase it. Everything is there. So also in the Vedic literatures, all that information is there, but one has to be favored by the personality of Godhead. One has to be favored by the Lord or his representative. Otherwise, there's no question of understanding. How is it that the Lord may assume such a form as a small child and engage in such a wonderful, supremely attractive, and at least, if nothing else, a curious pastimes? How is it that God can become a small child, and yet he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet he's the Supreme Personality? It just goes to show that God also wants to have some fun. He likes to do all sorts of things. It's not that he's just stuck up there in the clouds and he's overwhelmed with everybody's problems. And he's just an order carrier, or he's just someone that you can vent on. People are doing that regularly these days. In the material world, people are typically, we're just demanding, or if it's not there, we're venting. Oh God, why is this not happening, and why is that not happening? But the personality of Godhead, Krishna, he can, as the again the Vedic literatures state, he can assume so many wonderful forms. But all of it is in pastimes with his devotees. It's all scheduled. Actually, he has nothing to do, right? What is that verse? Natasya kayam karanam cha vidyate. Actually, he doesn't have to do anything. He's not obliged. Again, it's not like he has to rise at a certain time, or he has to go to bed at a certain time, or he has to perform some austerities in order to protect his position. He has to surround himself in so many careful ways to protect himself and his things, his possessions. No. The Supreme Lord doesn't have to do such things. But instead, he has potencies that manifest themselves and carry out all of these responsibilities. Sabhavika jnana balakriya cha. All of these potencies, they're appearing in full and simultaneously. And they're providing him with all sorts of facility for his pastimes and also for his associates. Not only just himself, but also for his associates. So when we hear such wonderful exchanges, just as here Srila Prabhupada is pointing out, how sometimes a mother lifts her child, and when the child falls in her hands, the child laughs. This sort of padding was going on. And we see that even in the mundane world, right? The parent likes to toss the little child up in the air and catch it, and the child has all sorts of fun, is laughing, and etc. Be careful that you don't drop it. This is also something that the Lord likes to do. So he engages his devotees and engages in such wonderful, enjoyable pastimes. So it's described here that Mother Jasoda would also do this, but on one occasion he became very heavy. How is that? That a small child can become so heavy. Anoraniyam mahato mahiyan. It's described that the personality of Godhead, he's also the greatest, but he can also be the tiniest, the lightest. As we'll experience later on in this pastime, how he becomes very light, so light that Trinavarta could whisk him away. So, but in this case here, now Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that he became so heavy that she couldn't bear his weight. So the personality of Godhead, although he's the smallest, even as a small child, everything again is there, so much so that he can make himself the heaviest. And knowing that Trinavarta was coming, it's very fascinating how all of this is arranged. It's not that the Lord is oblivious of this. No, Ishvarak Sarabhutanam, Krishna is there in the heart, and he knows exactly what Mother Jasoda wants to do, so he reciprocates in a very wonderful way. And he knows what Trinavarta wants to do, so he again reciprocates in a very wonderful way. That Trinavarta was wanting to come and take him away from his mother. And Krishna again, and Prabhupada very nicely points out that Krishna was aware that Trinavarta, him being taken by Trinavarta, would cause distress to his devotee, Mother Jasoda. And he didn't want that to happen in a very dramatic or a painful way. It's very interesting how it's being arranged here by the Lord that in a cloud of dust Krishna would rise up into the sky. So Krishna's fulfilling all desires. As the there's a very nice verse in Isha Upanishad which describes how the personality of Godhead is the self-sufficient philosopher who's fulfilling the desires of everyone since time immemorial. So Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desires in due course, that's for sure. And it's not that, again, it started at a certain time or Krishna had to come to a certain position, a certain point. No. Again, the Lord is so inconceivably wonderful that from time immemorial, he's fulfilling everyone's desires. So in this case, Trinavarta had a certain desire that he wants to kill the Lord. Well, that, as Prabhupada points out here at the end of the purport, whisk him away and play with him for some time. Because actually, Krishna is in total control. So he's allowing this this wonderful episode to come about, and it's not that again he's unaware of the situation. The Lord is so wonderful that he's creating all of these very nice situations so that the conditioned souls, his parts and parcels, his devotees, how everyone can some or other their desires be fulfilled, but eventually have the opportunity to come to his lotus feet, eventually to his service. Of course, it may take some very interesting routes to get there, just as here Trinavarta, being an asura, by his, we know by his being killed by the Supreme Lord was given that liberation. So, in one way or another, whether direct or indirect, the Lord is making all sorts of plans to liberate the conditioned souls to give us an opportunity for devotional service. And as Srila Prabhupada was pointing out here in the last few purports, I was just appreciating so much how Srila Prabhupada was pointing out how not only is I mean we can sort of relate how Krishna is engaging all of the residents of Vrindavan and a certain living beings in his Vrindavan Leela, in his Vrindavan pastimes. This, and then Prabhupada points out in a previous couple of purports how the Lord again is doing this in the form of his Sankirtan Leela. And how in every instance, Krishna is always trying to make some arrangement for the conditioned souls to connect with him. Whether, again, it's Vrindavan Leela or it's Chaitanya Leela through the Sankirtan movement. And all of this is it's intended to elevate the conditioned souls. How to somehow or other engage them in service. There's a very nice a couple verses or a couple statements here by Srila Prabhupada in the previous purport that was really I found to be very, very fascinating, and that was that Prabhupada describes that in the previous verses, the most important word was Mahagunam, indicating that the Brahmanas were offered palatable foods of exalted quality. Now, is it that the Brahmins are interested in eating? No. It's not all about eating. But there's a purpose behind that. And Prabhupada qualifies that later on in the purport, in that paragraph, by explaining that this means food grains and milk. And again, what does that mean? Is that, that the Brahmins or a society should be focused on just eating good and having a lot of curd? Of course, those things are nice too. But as for some people, maybe that's their calling, just to eat a lot of rich foods. But no, that's not the idea either. Prabhupada again qualifies it later on in the purport by saying that that means cow protection, and it means agriculture. And by doing that, Prabhupada explains that this is the way of human society. A perfect society is advanced in which is advanced in knowledge, must learn how to produce food grains and protecting the cows, because that is civilized life. And in order for anyone to understand what the purpose of human life is, one has to come to the civilized platform. Otherwise, there's no way of understanding. There's no way of advancement. There's no way of getting out of this cycle of repeated birth and death. One has to come to the civilized platform. So just like Krishna is engaging the certain residents of Vrindavan in such wonderful leelas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also engaging so many conditioned souls in his wonderful Sankirtan movement, because it's by that Sankirtan movement, again, that that society can become civilized. And it starts again by chanting the holy names, as Prabhupada points out in the purport. Of course, in this age, it's much more difficult. There are many more disqualifications, so the Lord has made it easy by the process of chanting. But again, the principle is the same. It's all about raising the conditioned souls to a civilized life, so that they can make a good use, finally, of this this human form of life. I found it quite interesting how the Lord can go through all, is enacting all of these wonderful pastimes, whether as a child or whether as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or as one of his other avatars. They're all there for the same expressed purpose of attracting the conditioned souls so that they may engage in some devotional service and take advantage of this great opportunity. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one very nice verse also, Mahaprabhu Bhakta Gana Vairagya Pradhan. There's a very nice verse that describes how the devotees, the persons, the participants of the those who engage in this Sankirtan movement, it's a certain austerity, right? There's no doubt. No one can doubt that. It's a certain austerity. But when engaging in that austerity, it's understood that that austerity is the life, it sustains them. Is there a sustaining force, that sacrifice? And when the devotees engage in that austerity, the Lord becomes especially pleased. So it's, although it may be, as we've heard many, many times, but it's nice to hear again, although it may be a challenge, by engaging in it, it becomes so satisfying, and all benefits and perfection are there. So, any other questions or comments? Yes.
Prabhu, thank you very much. I have a comment and then a question. And you raise an important observation about where the brahmanas interested in food, like saying, actually, they're more interested in pleasing Krishna and getting the best out of it. And that reminds me of an example given in the, I think it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of a devotee who will go out of his way and make a lot of austerities to get the best coconuts far away, miles away, to offer to the Lord. And
was that Pundarik Vidyanidhi?
This is probably in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember the name of the devotee, but that gets me on a, how do you say, like, more thought about how in our society, you know, we emphasize prasadam very much, and it's really good. And even Prabhupada says from the beginning, eat up to the neck. And sometimes we might misuse that license, especially when we're young. Of course, we're supposed to, prasadam is great. But I was just thinking that if we want to, are we just going to become interested in eating, just for eating, for the sake of eating? It can be dangerous too for our spiritual life if you're not really careful of what the quality of food also that we offer to Krishna. So I'm talking more or less about the quality, the best, in the sense that in buying the products, the devotees, if we can just be trained or educated how to get the best for Krishna. Educate our congregation. You love your Krishna, don't just get any little thing that just because, oh, I'm going to bring this, because, you know, I have extra dollars here, and get the cheapest thing. And then they ended up in the kitchen, and devotees use that. So no, please bring the best. Can we encourage them? So is there any possibility that we can actually do something, my question to you, that in the future we can do something in which we can train up ourselves, because we're the ones who go and buy things in the market, and our congregation bringing things, and without hampering, you know, their the possibility of bringing something, not blocking, but actually encourage them to bring the best. You know, you ended up with sugar that you might not like to use, or how do you call that, whole wheat? I mean, the powder, farina, cheap. You know, we can have the best for Krishna, for his devotees. Otherwise, we ended up getting sick. And devotees who can probably live longer until maybe serve Krishna for 30 or 40 years more, you know, eating a lot of cheap halava and a lot of cheap flour, you know, you stop. Just because we don't get trained or educated in that sense. And at the same time, for ourselves, to actually be a little bit more conscientious of that. Am I here? I came here just to eat all the time like this. At one point, we have to become like brahmanas, like real brahmanas, like a little bit more control in that sense. It's not easy, but so my question is, like, do you think it's possible to actually, we can raise up to that?
Sure, why not? It's just a matter of preaching. Everyone has to take it upon themselves to try and, whoever they meet, talk to them about offering nice things to Krishna, or offering some nice seva, or whatever you do offer. it should be of good quality. Yeah, it depends on, it just dependent on the devotees preaching to people. Why not? We can, you know, Krishna's there. If he sees it, if he sees the effort on our part, then Krishna will send the right people. Yeah, we may, someone here may connect with someone who has an organic farm someplace. Not that you necessarily have to go out and start growing spinach. But if you go out and you meet someone who is a farmer or an agriculturist in some way, or they have a shop somewhere, yeah, it's all about devotees going out and preaching. You know, our business is, Prabhupada has said many a time, is to be brahmanas. He's trying to train brahmanas. And the brahmanas' business is to go out and preach. Encourage and engage the conditioned souls. Encourage and engage people in Krishna's service. That's our business. Our business is to be teachers. Certainly we have to live by example, so you know, everything we do has to be also first class, but and then we're more enthusiastic to engage others in first class service. You know, it works like that. So yeah, we have to be a good character, good qualification, as Prabhupada explained in a couple of purports earlier. And then you engage the conditioned souls, and they'll be inspired that, as Prabhupada pointed out here in the previous purport again, Maharaj Nanda was very confident of the qualification of their Brahmins, of the Brahmanas that he invited. And he was confident of their blessings, that they would not go in vain. So we have to become very qualified so that when we go out and talk to people and encourage them, it's not in vain. They respond. Archita Prabhu? But it's in vain if we're unqualified. What are you doing? You're just, you have to become qualified. Right. Not everyone. That's everyone's responsibility. That's on each individual.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Nakama Prabhu, for a very nice class. Very wonderful points you brought up. On this point that Sachinoy Prabhu is bringing up, it's very important not to go too far in the other direction. We don't want to seem like we're an elitist collection society, that if you can't shop at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, don't come here. You know, it's not like that. Krishna himself says, Patram Pusham Palam Toyam. And Prabhupada many, many times emphasizes that even a poor man can find a leaf, a flower, and a little water to offer to Krishna. It's not that if you're not wealthy and you can't bring the finest flour and the finest vegetables, don't come here. Yeah, you don't want to give that impression either. It's from the heart. Whatever you can afford to give Krishna, give to Krishna. And as you become purified, then naturally your desire will go further. But on the other extreme, we have pure devotees like Sanatana Goswami, who was offering Krishna dry vadas. You know, just some wheat with water rolled and put on the fire. Not even salted. So, you know, we have to keep that in mind also, that when the devotees are on the highest platform, they're not even so concerned anymore about quality. Krishna himself said, Sanatana, can't you at least give me some salt? And Sanatana said, today you want salt, tomorrow you want something else. I'm an old man, just be satisfied. So, you know, it's a very, very fine line there. We don't want to give the impression that we're an elitist society. You only, if you don't bring the finest milk and the finest this and the finest that, don't come here. We don't want to give that impression.
Yeah.
Get them interested in coming to Krishna, bringing whatever they can, and gradually, as they become purified, they will want to bring more better and better things for Krishna. We shouldn't emphasize too much and too hard on points like that.
Yeah. Mataji?
I really like salad, and
so do I.
But I was thinking, and I think Sachidanoy remembers this, for the first maybe 10 or 15 years of the movement, we didn't have salad.
No, we
didn't.
I mean,
it was just like, you know, Prabhupada was not a salad person, so the whole movement was not a salad move. You know, so And Prabhupada very much was pleased by an offering of halava to the devotee, to the deities, and he liked to distribute halava. So, and I was thinking about Mother Gauri. I was thinking what the other day, because we offer a salad for her disappearance day. And but she didn't have salad the whole time she was in the movement. And you know, and I think it's like, wow, that's pitiful. She didn't get to have salad, but her life was so successful. And I still think of her to this day as being a person that I want to emulate. That she, her austerity, and loyalty and chastity to Srila, to her spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. It, she wasn't thinking about, you know, making sure that everything was perfect for her body and her tongue. And for, so, okay, and then we can say that, okay, well, I want to make everything perfect for Krishna's tongue. But it's a fine line. I mean, I find it with myself. It's a fine line whether I'm really thinking about Krishna's tongue or my own tongue or Krishna's body or, you know, am I going to have longevity and am I going to increase my, you know, ability to do kirtan by eating an organic salad. You know, I mean, it's a fine line, you know, and it takes a lot of introspection. You know, it isn't just, you know, how we're offering our food to Krishna and how we're buying ingredients. You know, am I going to the store to search for boga for me or for Krishna? It's a very fine line for me. I find myself falling into maya about it all the time. So anyway, that's just something I wanted to mention. I'm struggling with that kind of purification myself.
Yeah, again, it is a fine line. It's just like when someone decides to change their ashram. It's a fine line. You really, really have to consider it very carefully. What is this going to do for my devotional life? Or how is it going to benefit someone else's devotional life? So it's there's a lot of fine line things in Krishna consciousness. we don't have to get too consumed by them. You know, if the foundation is there, which Srila Prabhupada has given us, following the principles, chanting Hare Krishna, then Krishna will give us what we need. He'll provide the intelligence, etc. Yes, Prabhu.
Just one more point on this, because it's very important. There's a distinction of mass distribution also, when you're dealing with mass. And this was driven home in Mayapur. I think it was 74 or 73. I think it was Hare Kesha serving Prabhupada. He was bringing hot chapatis, because Prabhupada said chapati means hot. So he's bringing one after another, puffed, just nicely puffed. So the devotees thought, this is the way to do it. So in the mass distribution, they were trying to do that. Make chapatis hot, puff them up, and bring them out one at a time to serve the devotees. When Prabhupada heard, they said, tell them to stop. So you just make a stack of chapatis and distribute them. In other words, we shouldn't try to emulate Krishna in our own feeding, especially when we're feeding masses of people. So sometimes for the mass distribution, you can't insist on the highest Trader Joe's Whole Foods quality. It's just not practical. We're living in a cash society. In the days that you're talking about, when you could go personally to the coconut tree and pick it, everybody had their own little farm and they could bring the finest that they grew themselves to give to Krishna. That's a different story. When you have to go to, you know, shopping for tons and tons of wheat and rice and vegetables to feed masses of people, it's just not practical. Unless you can get Bill Gates to donate or somebody like that. You know, so we have to do according to our means also. Yes, we have the intention. Krishna should get the finest of everything. But at the same time, you have to be practical when it comes to dollars and cents and going to the store.
It's just like you're working for the BBT. There are certain books that are designed for mass distribution. And there are other books which are meant for a more select distribution. So sometimes you just have to make adjustments in order to get the mercy out. Mataji, one last question and then we'll finish.
Hare Krishna. There's another aspect which I think most people don't think about is that You know, ISKCON is a huge society, and we spend millions and millions of dollars. And in this time on earth, how you spend your dollars is really how you vote for how you want the world to go. So if we want to give all of our money to people who hate the earth because they throw all kinds of poisons on the earth into the rivers and into the skies, if we want to support those people by buying their cheap produce, then we have to see that we're kind of voting for that, and that actually goes against Krishna consciousness, and that Krishna consciousness means that we need to turn the world around. So if we spend a little bit more money and have a little bit less of things, we can support people who have some ethics in their lifestyle, and they will also become favorable to us, and we can support them and help them to develop and knock out those people who are just doing completely terrible things to the earth. And I think we need to consider that also. Hare Krishna.
Hi. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.